As you may have heard, over the weekend, an internal memo written by a senior engineer at Google went viral. In the memo, James Damore was critical of Google's efforts to diversify their workforce. One of his most controversial claims was that women are less represented in STEM fields because of biological differences that make them less likely to pursue those careers. On Monday, Google fired Damore, and the story received a lot of attention. Here on Radio Boston, we spoke with Colleen Ammerman. She's the director of Harvard's Gender Initiative. But a column in Tuesday's Boston Globe caught our attention, and so we wanted to have a deeper conversation. Globe tech writer Hiawatha Bray defended Damore and said Google went too far in firing him. And he said that actually gave credibility to the argument that the tech industry is indeed quick to silence conservative viewpoints. Joining us now is Hiawatha Bray, as he regularly does on Thursdays to talk tech. Hi, Hiawatha.
Glad to be here.
So, Hiawatha, you write that in firing Damore, Google was stifling dissent. But I'm curious, is that a fair characterization of what they did? I've actually been speaking with a couple of former Google employees, all on background. Nobody wanted to be quoted. And they all told me that they weren't surprised. One former engineer said that she's heard worse things, but this guy was, in her words, not mine, just dumb enough to put it in writing.
Well, there you go. When you work at a place where you're putting your opinions in writing makes you dumb, that raises a real question. Let me be clear now. Google has every right to fire the guy. That's not even on issue here. They have a right to do it. But do we really want to enshrine in standard corporate practice the idea that you fire employees who hold controversial opinions? And to put these opinions in writing is a mark of dumbness rather than a mark of intellectual daring.
So
I think that's a terrible standard.
So I've got to ask you, I understand what you're saying about free speech, but Google is a company. And, we don't really have free speech at work. If I publicly berate WBUR, which I'm not going to do here, I can't expect to keep my job for long.
Well, no. I've tried to make it clear from the very beginning. Google has every right to fire the guy.
Uh-huh.
But I read what he wrote.
Uh-huh.
And what he wrote was a sincere, well-intentioned analysis
of what
he thought was wrong with the company's diversity efforts. And by the way, to me, one of the most disgraceful things that has come out of this has been the press coverage. It has been astonishingly inaccurate, repeatedly calling it an anti-diversity screed. The Washington Post on their Snapchat page actually said that he claimed that women were genetically incapable of being engineers. He wrote nothing of the sort.
Mm.
What he said was, women are different from men. Therefore, what we should be looking at is the idea of creating diversity efforts that are rooted in the idea that you treat women differently from men and in terms of how you try to recruit them and train them.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you can argue that's a bad idea or not, but it's a sincere suggestion.
Yeah.
And it's hardly an attempt to overturn their anti-diversity, their diversity policies.
So Hiawatha,
the way this has been described has been shocking.
I agree with you that in reading the memo and reading the coverage of the memo, there is this disparity. I'll agree with you there. But I do want to get back to this issue of free speech, which is really kind of at the crux, I think, of what you were trying to argue in your column, is that Google had the right to fire them, but it wasn't the appropriate thing. And I guess I'm just wanting to understand that a little bit better, because on any job that I've ever been at, I kind of know to keep my mouth shut a bit on Twitter, not say too much here or there, because I sort of know that I don't have the freedom to maybe say what I want to say in the same way that I would say in my living room to my husband.
Well, yeah, but for example, you're in a company that's running a diversity policy. It's now forbidden for an employee to say, hey, this policy isn't working. Here's a better way to do it. That's going too far. That's a pretty strange standard to
have. You're talking about Google.
Okay. You can't criticize the company's policies at all and besides which, to me, this is part of a larger issue. I think we are, in our society, losing the culture of free speech. This isn't some First Amendment issue because the First Amendment doesn't apply here.
Mm-hmm.
But the First Amendment isn't the point. The point is that in American society, we're supposed to have a culture of free speech, a culture of open-mindedness where we just let people say what they think. And the internet is actually a classic embodiment of this. I wrote this in a different context in an earlier column. The internet is fundamentally American. You couldn't imagine something like this being invented in Russia or China. They would have built in all kinds of features to keep you from saying stuff.
Mm-hmm.
The people who built the internet were Americans. Their whole attitude was, say whatever you want. Now we've got the most powerful, or next to Facebook maybe, the most powerful company on the internet saying, at least internally, we don't want you to say things. We want you to shut up.
And does it bother you,
Hiawatha,
everything
because, there is,
But does it bother you because it's an information company? I mean, I feel like this sort of par for the course in company corporate culture, right? That every company has its own rules that you either abide by or you don't abide by, and you either have your job or you lose your job. And I feel like
that's right.
What we all know.
That's right. That's right. And I look, as I keep saying, Google has the right to do this.
So it bothers you because it's an information company? I mean, if this were to be, I don't know, Blue Cross, Blue Shield, I shouldn't list any company, but if it was just any other company.
Wouldn't bother me nearly as much, even though I would still think it would be unwise. In the case of Google, it is positively frightening. Google is one of the world's most powerful information sources. This is a company that we now know to be run by people who think that there are certain thoughts you shouldn't have and certain words you shouldn't say. How long before they use that? That is reflected in their search results. There's already some people who think they're doing it on YouTube, deliberately censoring videos that they don't approve of. Now, let me give you an example. This is not Google. This is Facebook. Last year, a bunch of Facebook employees petitioned Mark Zuckerberg and asked, what can we do using the power of Facebook to keep Donald Trump from getting elected? To his credit, Zuckerberg said, that's outrageous. We can't use our platform for that purpose. But there are people who work there who wanted to. And if you have people like that in Google as well, we could be in big trouble. If I'm an antitrust guy, I'm looking at this and I'm saying, I'm not letting those guys buy any other information companies ever again. And this is just one more reason to, because this is a company where you sit there wondering, can we trust them to be honest brokers of information when they tell you up front, there's certain things you're not allowed to say up in here.
So
I think that's really creepy.
So Hiawatha, I hear you on that point. You know, you made an argument in the op-ed that you wrote that Google engineers are tasked with writing code that generates an unbiased search result. And therefore, you defend Damore on those grounds. But some folks would make the case that Damore himself is kind of the prime example of a worker who has exhibited an explicit bias.
Well, I don't know how you say that he's exhibited an explicit bias.
Some folks would make that argument,
it?
Right? I mean, I've heard that from people who used to work at Google.
I suppose in a sense you could say this is a bias. He's biased in opposition to what Google is currently doing. But by that line of reasoning, everybody at Google has some level of bias or ought to.
But he's biased, in acknowledging that women have certain biological differences. He did put that out in his memo. And I spoke with a former Google engineer who felt very deeply troubled by that line of reasoning. And she's like, it's not like stuff I haven't heard before. But to put that out there, she felt was a bias. Do you disagree?
But come on, first of all, it's obvious that men and women are biologically different. So,
in terms of anxiety and stress, as he put, that women have less of an ability to deal with stress, you think?
Here's what I'm saying. I have no idea whether what he is specifically saying is true or false. The point is, this guy, by the way, who's a dropout from the systems biology doctoral program at Harvard, actually cited some scientific evidence for what he was saying. I am not qualified to analyze it. My point is, apparently, there is some degree of controversy about this in the scientific community. There
about
are scientists who
women
are
and men
about
being
what
able to
he
do
said.
Things, yeah.
There's actually a posting on, I forget the name of it, there's a website where like four scientists actually went on and said, yeah, there's some evidence for what he's saying. It is not like he made this up out of nowhere.
Couldn't a lot of people make the argument, and they've made it before in history, right, that different races are genetically inferior, intellectually inferior? And I just feel like we would now sort of in commonplace in society deem that those arguments are biases. Is this different? Mm-hmm. Is this not a bias in the same way?
I just think that if there's some evidence for it, and apparently based on what he's writing, there is actually some scientific evidence for it, you got to have the discussion. What are you supposed to do? For example, he actually cites several scientific papers in this.
Folks cited scientific papers, too, when they argue genetic differences.
Here's what I'm getting at. Now, if he's wrong, he's wrong. But to say you can't even say it, I think that's crazy.
Because there's a study, you're saying, a scientific study that suggests
more
that
than
women
one, apparently.
Are potentially more likely to have greater anxiety, not able to deal with stress. And
this
so because there's a scientific
me.
Study, therefore it's considered okay, you think? Just
to talk about
device.
It, yes. To right. talk about it, yes. Absolutely.
So I want to pivot and bring in another voice. On Monday, we spoke with Colleen Ammerman. She's the president of Harvard's Gender Initiative. She had a direct response to Damore's claim that science proves women don't pursue tech because of their biology. She's saying, you know, hold on a minute. We don't really have evidence that suggests this is nature over nurture. And I just want to play a quick cut of her.
men can actually be ideal workers, can put in a lot of hours at work and sort of feel psychologically and socially rewarded as good parents because they are breadwinners, right? For women, of course, it's diametrically opposed. You know, the mandate to be an ideal worker, to be 100% devoted to your job, comes into direct conflict with the social mandate to be a good parent, be 100% devoted to your family. So women are really facing a kind of impossible choice.
Yeah.
And that's not really a reflection of their ambition or their aptitude or their competence.
So Hiawatha, did Damore shoot himself in the foot by trying to cite science as a rationale for his arguments? I mean, some folks would say that he had some constructive criticism and he could have just left it there.
It's possible. I mean, I think if they hadn't mentioned the biological thing, he might have gotten away with it. I don't know. That was the thing that they specifically singled out. I don't know. But I don't see why you're not allowed to talk about this. I mean, either way, it just strikes me as absurd to argue that it is unfair to bring up stuff when there is some, at least, scientific support for it, and you're not even allowed to raise the question. To me, that isn't the point. Let me make it very clear. I am not defending Damore's conclusions. I do not know enough to do so. What I am saying is, why can't he talk about them? Why is this something that you should be a firing offense at a company like Google, which is full of scientists? This is a company that is packed with scientists. This is the kind of thing they ought to be thinking about. And you're telling them, you can't think about this here. I think that's just a very bad precedent to set.
So, Hiawatha, I've got to ask you a bigger picture question. The tech industry now seems to be at the center of a sort of culture war. I mean, are we entering a point where they're being sucked into arguments that they'd prefer to stay out of? You mentioned Facebook. I mean, Google is not mm-hmm. the only tech company here.
Oh, yeah. I wish they would stay out of them, personally, in terms of trying to manage and govern what we know. Now, they can't completely. I mean, there's a real problem here because there is such a thing as outrageously hateful commentary. People basically hurling death threats and incitements to violence on places like Facebook and the like. And there's no way they cannot try to grapple with that. And how to draw the line is very difficult. I agree with that. But when they start quashing dissent internally, over something that is highly debatable and I think worthy of discussion, it sets a tone and it sets a precedent. And I think it undermines the trust that we can have in these guys as fair, honest brokers of information. And that's really what scares me about it. Again, let me make this very clear. Most companies, if we were talking about General Motors, I wouldn't even be here. I don't care what they do about mm-hmm. stuff like that. The reason this matters to me is because it's Google. Or if it had happened at a Facebook
and
or
so
a
Twitter,
same
thing. And so it's an information source for a lot.
These guys have a stranglehold on what much of the world knows about what's going on in the world. They could have an immense power to actually start changing what we see, hear, and read based on their internal biases about what they think is legitimate conversation. And I'm looking at it and thinking, I don't want them to have that kind of power.
But
this is the best argument I've seen in a while for breaking up Google.
Hiawatha, though, I want to ask you, I mean, Google is based in California. We look here in Boston, our own backyard. It's a tech center. And we're also known as a relatively liberal city. I mean, to some degree, is it not just the fact that a lot of these tech companies are based in places where a lot of their employees would have more progressive politics? And I know that there is an attempt, right, to lure tech companies to other cities. And does this idea of a culture war in tech just mean that companies will essentially move to places based on politics?
I don't know. Well, you know, people are already doing it. You've seen that, haven't you? There's this most dismaying research. That is exactly what is happening in America, not just in terms of tech. It's happening on every level of American society. People are moving out of neighborhoods where they don't find people who share their politics or they don't find people who share their religion. We are becoming this stratified nation, not just in terms of wealth, but in terms of our attitudes and our policies and our viewpoints. And it's scaring the heck out of me personally. I mean, we're just getting to the point where we don't want anything to do with people who are, you know, like even in our same neighborhoods, who don't vote for the same people and don't watch the same TV shows and so on. That's happening nationwide. I don't know how that changes with tech. I mean, the gravity of Silicon Valley, I don't see how you overcome that gravitational pull. It is just this insanely productive place full of extremely smart people. You can't just pick up and move to Texas. I'm sorry, you can't. Well, maybe Austin, but otherwise, you can't just do that. It is this gold mine of highly capable people. But it is also, alas, an echo chamber, which is the title of this document. And that is going to harm them. that is going to make a difference in the long run. Google, I was just reading about how Google and Facebook send people to live in places like India and in Pakistan and places like that, and in African countries to learn the culture and start preparing products that will reach out to those markets. I hope they do that now, maybe in West Virginia or on my neighborhood,
exchange.
The South. Right, or the south side of Chicago, where I grew up, or something like that. That's something that's badly needed, and not just by these tech companies. Everybody in America should be doing that, because this is getting crazy. We are becoming a country in which you can't say what you think, in which we seem to hate each other. It's not enough to disagree with the other person, the guy who voted for Trump, the guy who voted for Clinton. We're like, we hate them now, and that's insane, and I don't get it.
All right, I'm going to leave it there. Thank you so much, Hiawatha.
Oh, hey, thank you.
That's Hiawatha Bray, tech writer for the Boston Globe.